SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Here we go, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday night on the grid. A lot going on, as always. There's a ton of hockey tonight, which is great that we have Gentleman George in the house. We've got a bunch of NBA games. There's a ton of great college basketball games. I'm watching the golf with the TGL again here on a Tuesday night, as Tiger is playing tonight with the Jupiter team, down 5-1 on the seventh hole. So that we'll see how that goes for him. And we've got a ton of football talk tonight as we are down to the last eight, the divisional round, which is always the best round because you just get four. You should have the eight best teams left at this point. You would think you'd get four. At least three, hopefully. Pretty good games, because you didn't get many last weekend. So we will talk about all of those matchups. We've got some coaching stuff as well, especially since with George being here, I didn't think there was any chance the Cowboys were going to change some things up, but they are going to do that. Mike Carver here with you. Sans Joe out on assignment, as I already could tell you who he's after today, who he's looking for. He's knocking on Kevin O'Connell's door. So you could just go right up there to Minnesota, and you'll probably find Lisi outside O'Connell's house as he's looking. Because you know Joe last night, as he's doing that game with Kevin and Donnie, I'm sure it was pump it up, points, P-O-I-N-T-S, points, points, points. And him getting nothing out of the Viking offense, I'm sure it was not fun for Joe in that setting. As soon as I saw Kevin O'Connell's gutless tweet from him last night, I knew he was going to be after. So it is Tuesday, so you know what that means. Gentleman George, George Kurtz, here with us on a Tuesday night. Hi, George. How are you?
How am I? You know, I don't blame Joe for being a little upset at Kevin O'Connell. You know, my first thought when you were saying that was, well, you know, he should really be at Sam Darnold's house, or that's where he should be knocking on the door, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, has there been – when was the last time you can remember somebody costing himself so much money in two games? I mean, he's lost a lot. I thought he was going to get something like a Daniel Jones contract for 160. You know, and now I don't know what he gets next year. I mean, he proved when the lights get bright, he choked. And by the way, last night wasn't as bad as last Sunday night. I mean, he actually played a little bit better here. But he caught himself a lot of money here. So I think I might blame him. But that being said, I don't know what they were doing in the second half of last night. It looked like they didn't care. They punted at the 50-yard line, 4th and 5, first possession. They weren't running to the line of scrimmage yet. They were taking forever. It's like, oh, is this a preseason game, or are you going home in an hour? What's going on here?
And I think that that's what caused Joe to send out the gutless tweet about Kevin O'Connell, because I was wondering the same thing. Because even though, you know how this goes, George, even though the game is not in doubt anymore, you knew that the Rams were going to win that game in the fourth quarter. For people like us, there's a lot of other things that are still riding on these games all the way until the clock hits zero. So you would have thought, being down 2 or 3 scores in the fourth, still 15 minutes left in the game, that we would see, like you said, a little bit of urgency, a little bit of push, a little bit of, you know, maybe we could get some garbage time yardage from guys like Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison, or garbage time touchdowns, things like that. And instead, George, you got, let's get the hell out of here and get back to Minnesota, is pretty much what you got in the fourth quarter of that game. But I can only hope, George, that we get better this weekend coming up with the divisional round, because it was not highly entertaining, the wild card round. 6 games, or really only one of them you can say was exciting down to the end, which was the Tampa Washington game on Sunday night. Other than that, it was slim pickings, George, in terms of drama or intensity. I mean, it just wasn't there at the end of these games.
It was ugly. All right, it was ugly. Like I said, there was only one good game. Now, I agree with your first statement here. Usually, divisional weekend is the best weekend of professional football, in my opinion, right? Because you get the teams that were on bye, they come back in. Used to be even more so back years ago when two teams got on bye. You know, the funny thing is this, Mike. Last year's wild card round, the games on average were separated by 17 point something points. This year, it was 15 point something. It's nothing better this year than last year. But what it's telling you is that wild card round, since they made this with only one team getting a bye here and next team getting in, sucks. There are too many bad teams that are in here, and it's just if you're a fan of football, it's not great, is it? We're gamblers, or if you're playing in fantasy or playoff leagues, that makes it more interesting. At least you have something to root for, or not root for in this case. But the games itself, they've been pretty much duds.
Yeah, you know, the gap, George, between the teams is a lot wider, right? When you're doing 2-7 and 3-6, especially if you get, you know, the kind of year that you had, especially in the AFC. Like, I think everybody knows the gap with Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore to everyone else is pretty wide. And even in the, you know, on the NFC side, it's, you know, Lions, Eagles. I mean, the Vikings won 14 games. I don't think anybody ever actually believed in them, and they showed why last night in that game in Glendale, why nobody actually believed them. So we will get into all the playoff action as I am pumped up, George. I'm ready for Sunday. I mean, strap it on. Let's go. For Josh game. Allen and Lamar Jackson. I'll be shocked, George, if that one's not highly entertaining. That final game on Sunday at 6:30 with those two guys. And we'll discuss later, but there's been a lot of talk about how, oh, they smashed them the first time. And there's so many people who like the Ravens, George. I don't know why they're even playing the game at this point. Why play the game? The Bills are going to be dogs if this holds. Now, this could change by Sunday. They're dogs right now. They have never, in 18 playoff games in Orchard Park, ever been an underdog at home in the playoffs. All right. That sounds like something easy for Sean McDermott and Josh Allen to put on the board on Sunday morning. I know that. That's a real easy one. So we'll do that. Hockey, George, tons of it here tonight. One of our big – Tuesday is always a big NHL night. Tons of games. 1-1, Stars and the Leafs in Toronto. About midway through the second. Boston up 3-0 on Tampa. You know, George, me and Pharrell talked about this today. They played last week in Tampa. Lightning beat them down there. Lightning have been playing better than the Bruins. But, you know, Bruins were one of those several home dogs tonight. You like to think that eventually they can, you know, climb out of the hole a little bit. I thought it was a really nice spot for the Bruins. And they're up 3-0 to start. The Wings have won 7 in a row, and they're down 2-1 to the Sharks. Still a lot of time left there, George, if you want to nibble on plus 116 for the Wings live.
I actually already did. I nibbled when they were down 1-0. Then they each traded goals after that, still 2-1. So I'm sort of back to where I started from there. So I took a shot on that. I got very lucky because I was going to take the Ning tonight. I'm going to take the Lightning, but then I saw that Braden Point got a little suspension here. Yeah, apparently he missed a meeting, whatever the hell it was.
Stupid
here. But I was gonna be big on the Ning tonight because Boston put like 17 players on IR today. All right, McAvoy was put. You know, Lindholm was still on IR. Hampus Lindholm, not Elias. He's still on IR. They moved. I think Coyle was gonna be out with the nil. So it was like, oh, good spot for the Lightning. Then once I saw Braden Point, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna leave it alone. So I guess thank you, Braden Point, for getting suspended here for being benched tonight. So he's saving some ducats here.
There is a bunch of other games. I'll do them on the other side, including the Islanders and the Senators at the Horse Track tonight as the Islanders come home after winning three in a row on the road, which is unheard of for the Islanders. So they're on a three-game winning streak. Me and George can't watch the game, so at least we can try to talk about it and bet on. And we got a few games coming later tonight. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George Kurtz in for Joe. We're just getting going on a Tuesday night on the grid. We're back right after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. Mike Carver with you, George Kurtz in for Joe, as per usual on Tuesdays. And I think, I don't know this for sure, because you never know with Joe, I would think that this week and next week, Joe's going to be out. And then maybe it's back to me and Joe. I don't. Me and Joe have not done Monday through Friday since like July together. So we'll see if 2 weeks from now that actually comes to fruition and we get back to the regular schedule. But we shall see. LA up 6-1 on Jupiter, which of course is Tiger's team at the TGL, as Tagala just piped one down the middle at the Arrow course. And they're looking very good. George, let me finish giving you the hockey here, as I'm about to jump on the Wings as well, down a goal. 2-0, Caps lead the Ducks. That's in the middle of the second period in D.C. The Penguins just scored to take a 2-1 lead over Seattle. Flyers and the Jackets are tied at 1 in Columbus. Columbus has been outstanding at home this year. Blues just took a 1-0 lead over Calgary as they got underway. Knights and the Predators underway in Nashville. Canucks and the Jets just started. In Winnipeg, you still have Rangers, Avalanche, and Canadiens, and the Hockey Club in Utah coming up later tonight. So a very big night of hockey, George. I know you're involved.
Damn right I'm involved, right? Probably a little more so because we're all doing the show together as well, but maybe. That would have been a big night anyway with, I don't know, was there 13 games tonight or something silly like that? Listen, I don't think I can blame the NHL for doing this. You don't want to go head-to-head Monday night with the NFL playoff game, right? So you only scheduled 3 games last night. You go bananas tonight. I think tomorrow night's probably a TNT national night, so you know they're not going to have many games there. So it is what it is, all right? So bets that I have on here, I ended up not taking Tampa. I didn't bet Boston, all right? But I ended up not taking Tampa Bay there, so that's going to end up working out well. Mentioned I got in late on Detroit. I am in on Columbus here. Well, part of this is what you said. They're very good at home, but also Philadelphia played last night, hoping for a little bit of a slowdown from them on that game. I'm in on Washington, just probably the most underrated team in the NHL. And, you know, I got to tell you, Mike, you want to compare them to a football team? I sort of compare them to the Vikings. You know, they don't really – they shouldn't be this good. All right, when you look at this team as a whole here, but they're playing great, so I'll ride it while they are. I'm on the Devils tonight over the Panthers. Panthers played last night, same thing. Devils are a great team. On the under in that game as well, on the under in the Islander game. They don't have a side, Senators, Islanders. Really thought about the Senators, Mike, because no Sorokin again tonight. And I didn't see if it was because of the illness or because Hogwarts played so well on over the weekend. And that's the reason I have no issue with that. Sorokin's probably played too much anyway here, so I don't mind them that. Yeah, I'm on the Blues, same reason I mentioned earlier. I pick on teams that played the night before when they're playing decent teams, or these games that I like here. And not only am I on Vegas, I'm on the under, but I am on Jonathan Marchessault. It's his first time playing his former team, Vegas. Oh. Anytime goal for Jonathan.
All right, we could probably get him in the mix. I just went in, George. I'm in on the Red Wings, so I just put them in live and Columbus. So you got me in on Columbus also at even money. Tied at 1 with the Flyers with a lot of time to go in both of those games. So I'm in live on the hockey on both of those. We also have, and quickly, let me just give a few of these, George, and that's the college hoops tonight, which is a lot of big games. Villanova up 52-48 on Xavier, tied 36 all Ole Miss and Alabama. Kentucky up 35-32 on Texas A&M. You also have number 1 Auburn crushing Mississippi State 52-33. I saw Pharrell upsettingly tweeting about this. Indiana getting housed at home by Illinois, 62-42, down 20 with 16 minutes to go. Marquette having a hard time in Chicago with DePaul tonight. God, DePaul stinks. You have a bunch of other games later. Providence-Creighton starts in about 20 minutes. Duke's laying now 23.5 against Miami tonight. Very big number. Arkansas minus 1.5 on the road at LSU. Wisconsin minus 6.5 against Ohio State. There's a ton of great late night games as well, including, yes, system play. Arizona minus the 5.5 against Baylor, the unranked team favored at home against the ranked team. Always a Carver and Lisi favorite. So Arizona minus the 5.5 later this evening against Baylor. So we have all of that going as well. Here this evening, George. So I am going to eventually try. I was just going to say I was going to try to put the Islander game on, George, but as we know, that's not That's not in my cards.
Let me know how that works out for you.
That's not in my cards. Because I'm getting, there's only a couple holes left in the golf. Did you ever turn it on last week, George, and take a look at it? I'm swinging into this screen down in Florida at the TGL.
I did. You know, it's weird. I did. We've also, listen, if you're a golfer, you've swung into a screen. I just can't believe how they're, I'd have a hard time putting, even if I was a golf better, which generally I'm not.
Yes.
You know, unless like, you know, Dubs has talked me into something to do something. But, you know, I'd have a hard time betting money on a screen. I just, I'm not saying I don't trust it, but I don't trust it.
I don't blame you. And that was the main thing I said to Keith Stewart, who comes on with me Wednesdays for Golf Wednesdays, was from Read the Line. I said, he was there. He was at the place last week. And I just, that's where I gotta believe, George. And I don't know, how is that screen calibrated? Like these, I've saw some guys last week that looked like had these nice, pure swings. And the ball like went a little left and landed in the dirt. Like, I don't know who's controlling the screen. And you're asking me to vet that. That seems like a lot for me. I love it. I think it's cool. I don't think it's the same as watching, for somebody like me, watching a PGA Tour event Thursday through Sunday. I think it's a lot different product. But from a betting aspect of it, I'm still trying to grasp, and I hit it, George, last week. We had the Bay team last week, and they won. But betting on guys hitting a ball into a screen, I'm just not completely all the way there yet. And here's the other thing, and a lot of people brought this up when I was talking about this last week. A lot of states also have not approved this on their sports books, which is betting on guys hitting balls into screens. This has not been, I know they're trying to get it through, but it has not started to happen yet. All right, so we'll come back and start to get into some football things as well. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. We're rocking with you on a Tuesday night here on The Grid. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159 on a Tuesday night on the grid. We're going to do a lot of football tonight, as we'll start to get ready for these four games this weekend. And there's only one way to go but up after how this past weekend went in terms of drama and edge of your seat stuff. But even like, George, in terms of like, 5 of the 6 games were unders. So you know how this goes. Like, that also hurts. Like I was saying, you know, like Joe did last night with Kevin O'Connell when the game's a blowout in the fourth quarter. Like, that hurts props, man. It's, you know, blowouts and bad games can kill props sometimes, especially if these teams put the lid on it. And that happened too, you know. Just like, even the touchdown scores were bizarre, right, George? Like, even in some of these games, like, you know, last night, who's the guy that's got Allen score? I know Williams had the first one for the Rams, but he had a defensive touchdown. The guy at the tight end, Allen scored. Who had the Viking touchdown? Hockenson had his first touchdown of the year. The Bills had Curtis Samuel score. Like, there was also just some weird, it was a bad week. If you're like a prop over player or a touchdown player, George, you got smashed this past weekend with how bad these games were.
Yeah, it was ugly, right? De'Ami Brown scores for the Commanders there in that game as well that we didn't see coming.
Ugh.
Right, it was ugly. It was ugly here. The Dallas Stars take a 2-1 lead over the Maple Leafs on the power play for those one game. So it wasn't fun. You know, as you said, a lot of they were all mostly unders here, mostly against the blowouts. And it does the fact that they were blowouts, but we didn't get the garbage time points, right? That was why we didn't get our overs either. Just the second halves were boring, dull. I mean, last night I almost fell asleep during a playoff game. It's like, what is going on here? You know, Connell just, there's nothing going on. The Rams didn't care anymore. They knew the game was over. Wanted to get out of Dodge, get back to LA, and prepare for Philly. So good for them. But this week has to be better.
It has to be better. And hopefully it will as we move on into the next round. Do you put any stock, George, into these two teams that had the bye. Now, they've only done this the last couple of years, going to 7 with the one team getting the bye. And I'm pretty sure last year was 1 out of 2, right? The Niners made it to the Super Bowl, and they had the bye. And the Ravens lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game. So I think it's been 1 out of 2 each year since they started doing this. Do you look for any rust from the Lions and the Chiefs? I think even more specifically the Chiefs, considering at least the Lions played a game that mattered in Week 18. The Chiefs haven't played a game. I mean, their guys haven't played since Christmas when they go out there this Saturday. I know they're going to win, Jordan, whatever. It's the Texans, but can't tell me they're going to be a little slow out of the gates, maybe, when considering how long it's been.
Well, I mean, if there's one team that knows about buys, it would be the Chiefs, right?
I mean,
they've had a lot of them. Yeah, this is generally the postseason is generally the Kansas City Invitational. All right, just the way it works. It's always in Kansas City, and they do what they do, so you think they'd be better. I mean, I think they win the game, but I'm taking the 8.5. All right, that's just the way the Chiefs have played all season long, and the Texans certainly showed me something against the Chargers. Remember, they started off slow, too. The Chargers had plenty of chances to really get up 10, 12, 13, 14 points in that game. They left points on the field because Herbert played, he did his best Dak Prescott impersonation there. So, Herbert, Dak, even Lamar Jackson was sort of in this category before. Lamar loses to Buffalo on Sunday night. He's going to have some questions to answer, too.
The chatter's going to be there if he loses on Sunday.
He can't win the
chatter's
going to
absolutely be there for him. You know, I know that Allen hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl, and I know that he hasn't beaten Mahomes in a playoff game yet, but he's got like 5 or 6 playoff wins, George. It's not like he hasn't won any games in the playoffs.
Allen's not in this category.
Allen's
fine. He should have beaten the Chiefs in the one game where they let up the 50 yards.
That's what I think some people don't get, is people say, well, Allen hasn't done this. Allen played the single greatest game a losing quarterback has played in a playoff game probably ever that day in a 13-second game. When you look at the numbers, when you look at him coming down twice in the last 2 minutes to take the lead, like he did, like you can't do more than that and not get the ball back after you take the lead with 13 seconds left. An all-time game. But this is going to be a classic this week. And you're right. The questions will be there if Lamar loses. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We are back on a Tuesday night on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. George Kurtz in for Joe Lisi tonight. George is over. Joe's out searching for Kevin O'Connell after last night. So we'll see how that goes for him. Tiger against Justin Rose here as they get to the one-on-one portion of the TGL. And Tiger just hit one. How are they not go dead straight? These guys are hitting them dead straight into the screen, and Tiger comes up short of the fairway. That doesn't make much. Tiger looks bad, too. He's like, I created this thing. You're not supposed to do this to me. I'm supposed to hit them pure every single time. Not a good scene from him. And also, we're watching a lot of the hockey this evening, where we're hoping that we get a little rally from the Detroit Red Wings down 2-1. At home against the Sharks as they try to keep their winning streak going. The Bruins are now up 4-1 on the Lightning. Penguins up 2-1. Caps extend to 3-0. Predators up 2-0 on Vegas in the first inning. So Nashville's come out with a few goals, and Winnipeg has scored first against the Vancouver Canucks tonight, who are in town in the Great White North. Scoreless end of the first between the Islanders and the Senators for us, too. George, let me ask you this. Me and you talked about the McCarthy stuff for the last few months, weeks, really. I guess you could say that me and you were together on Tuesdays. I was very surprised that, A, Jerry decided to get rid of him. Let's just call it like it is. I know his contract was up. He was a free agent, whatever, but Jerry got rid of him. If he offered Mike a deal, I think Mike would have stayed and been the coach of the Cowboys. Not only that he did it, George, but two, why did he like mess around for a week and then do it? Because then he blew his chance to go interview Ben Johnson, who everybody thinks is the next coming of Bill Walsh. So I was kind of surprised on both fronts. I'm not surprised he's talked to Deion. I'll get into that in a moment. But a little surprised, George, that Mike's gone.
Yeah, I think that's the right term. I'm not shocked. I am surprised. I think what happened here is that I think Jerry wanted a shorter contract. Jerry wanted, you know, 2 years maybe with an option. And Mike wanted more standard 4 to 5 years. And Jerry didn't want to go that far. Which lets you know that Jerry had his doubts. And if you have your doubts, go move on. All right? So McCarthy's a good, solid coach, but he's not going to bring it to that next level. His system is ancient. You know, it's not built for today's football. So as a Cowboy fan, I'm the first person to tell you, yeah, I'm kind of glad McCarthy's gone. But Mike, I'm the first person to tell you, it doesn't matter. All right? He's not hiring Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is not going to the Cowboys to deal with Jerry Jones. All right, he'll have plenty of other places he can go to where he can be, do his own thing here and not have to worry about Jerry doing press conferences, Jerry saying this, Jerry saying that. He's not doing it, all right? Unless Jerry Jones is going to hire somebody who he's willing to listen to, who's willing not to get involved with, and he's not going to – Jerry's never relinquishing GM duties. Right? He already told you that, 2 weeks ago. I bought the Cowboys for a lifetime job, you know, so he's not doing that. Mike, I'm 55. I don't know. I'm not sure the Cowboys win again. By the way, by when I would say a Super Bowl, maybe a championship game before I die, you know, because Jerry Jones is going to live forever, and they're not going to win while he's running the team. They're just not. But I don't. It just doesn't matter unless he's willing to hire somebody real. He was not hiring Mike Vrabel, so that was never happening here. You know, if you're asking me, my guess is the person who's going to Dallas will be Kellen Moore. That's who I expect to be the next Dallas head coach.
Yeah, I mean, then why did he let me just ask you this, George. If he wanted Kellen Moore, then why did he let McCarthy win the Kellen Moore versus Mike McCarthy offensive power struggle 2 years ago? If he wanted, I don't know. You think Kellen Moore, really? I don't know,
I'm not saying I want him to be next to head coach. I'm just saying he knows the Cowboys. Jerry Jones knows him. Jerry Jones likes him. He worked very well with Dak Prescott. Remember, what was Dak Prescott first in the league in touchdown passes on the Kellen Moore's last? It made very little sense to get rid of Kellen Moore. I think you and I talked about this. I know I bitched about this with everybody. McCarthy said the reason why he got rid of Kellen Moore is because all he wants to do is score points. Huh? What?
Yeah, isn't that his goal? That's... You know, was the
it's an
you
think the statement.
Offense? You think the offense has been that much better since they got rid of Kellen Moore? I don't think so.
It's been worse.
It's been worse.
It's not all McCarthy's fault. I mean, Jerry Jones screwed him over. He didn't sign anybody. He let everybody go and didn't sign anybody. Jerry Jones
that's
screwed
very
him
true.
Over. Screwed him over twice. He screwed him over during the season. He screwed him over, as you've already said here, by not letting him go last week.
Right. Now, of course, immediately, hours later, you get the Jerry's talk to Deion Sanders stuff. Now, Deion gives this statement to Adam Schefter, which, by the way, George, I know he says in it, I love Boulder. He says all that stuff, but he never says, I'm staying in Boulder. He just says, I love Boulder. Never says, I'm staying or I'm not taking the job. So I don't think that that door has been completely closed yet. But I'll tell you what door has been closed, George. If Deion Sanders actually does become the coach of the Cowboys, his son's not coming with him, okay? And you know this because you know the kind of situation that they have there cap-wise with who they've spent money on and who they haven't. They just gave Dak Prescott a big extension. You've seen it. If they traded him in this offseason, it's like $105 million cap 108 is what a cap penalty next season. And beyond. So if you were to do it, and I guess maybe if Deion was like, yeah, I'll lose for 2 years as long as I have my son, because then by the third year we'll be good to go. As long as they're fine with losing for a couple of years, I guess they could do it. But I just don't see how everyone's going to trade their top pick? You think Tennessee's just going to, who's got a whole bunch of problems themselves, is going to take Dak Prescott off their hands? Or any of these teams are going to take, Cleveland's going to take Dak Prescott? It's a pipe dream, George. It's not happen. It's fantasy land. It's not reality. It's not going to be the case. So,
you don't have to convince me. I agree. I don't see it happening whatsoever here. All right. As you said, Tennessee would have to agree. They'd have to be in love with Dak, right? Because you have to go trade your one and maybe some other picks as well here. But even if it was just straight up, your number one, Sanders for Dak, I mean, I guess theoretically, sure, Deion could go, all right, listen, I'm willing to eat it for a couple of years. It'll take me that long to get Sanders up to the NFL, to my son up to the NFL standards anyway, and he gives you 2 years to get the cap under control. What happens with Micah Parsons, by the way? Can you afford him now with $108 million dead? I don't know.
He'd be out in that scenario too.
Right. I would assume he'd be out then.
You might as well Lamb too. You might as well get him out. Might as well get him out also. You would be completely stripping everything down to the studs if you did that scenario. Everything would have to come down. Everything. And lose and get yourself top picks for the next 2 years too. So and just lose all
remember
that.
Remember this. Deion is not an X's and O's guy. You know, he'd have to hire a top OC, a top DC. You know, I think Shermer, by the way, is the guy who he's already said has to come with him. It's a package deal.
Right, Pat Shermer.
That's, you know, yeah. Okay, sort of is what it is. Fine. But here's this. Deion may be the only person who would upstage Jerry Jones. And I don't think Jerry would like that. Jerry doesn't want, because where's the media going? Media may not go to Jerry anymore. They may want to go to Deion because he may have better clips, better quips. Right? Better than our speeches here. So, no, it's not. No. No. No! Come on, Mike. Throw me a bone here. It's not going to matter. That's the bottom line, boys and girls. It's not going to matter. He's not going to hire a legitimate head coach. He's going to hire some blah, Kellen Moore type.
Well, Pete Carroll? Pete Carroll will be the coach?
Oh, come on! Hire someone who's older than Jerry. That's just fantastic. No, it has to be an offensive guy, I would think. They gotta get Dak fixed. He's terrible, but they gotta get Dak.
Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday night. George Kurtz in for Joe, as he'll be back tomorrow. And me and Joe, actually, every day the rest of this week. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I know it's been a lot of weeks of not the normal schedule. Last week you had those games on Thursday, Friday. You had holidays the 2 weeks before that, other things going on. Really, after the title game on Monday, which is Notre Dame and Ohio State, as we know, after that Monday night game, it's pretty much back to me and Joe coasting every night. We should be on our way after that. So almost through all the football and the holidays and things. Remember, Joe's always in a bad mood during that time of year because he's upset because football's over. So we'll try to – that's when we start to pull Joe in on betting nonsense college basketball games and golf and all these other things that Joe hates betting. We try to keep him occupied by playing with that. He gets so upset, George. Like, you know Joe too. Well, like he loves football so much. He's the encyclopedia of college football. He does all that. He loves it so much. And when it ends, he's like a sad lost puppy. You know, he's very down. And you need to try to energize him a little bit. See, me and Matias poked him a little bit last week. You know, I know he's starting to get down, even though there's still games left. We poked him a little with college basketball. We baited him into basically betting couple college basketball games, and he ended up hitting one. He tranced me with that Illinois game. So you got to keep Joe entertained, George, when football ends. You got to make sure you keep him going because he loses his train of thought.
Seven games left.
That's it.
Trying to explain to my kid, seven games. Sad.
It's very sad. And then you wait all the way to really September.
It's the longest wait
of the season, right? It's the longest wait.
It is the longest wait by far. Now, me and you love hockey, so we'll be all right. April, May, June. Me and you love baseball, so we'll be all right for the most part. Obviously, baseball can get a little tedious in the middle of the summer.
It's 8,000 games. I'm good with it, so I don't care.
You can watch baseball every night like you watch hockey. You could put every game on in front of you, and you'll be good to go. And I do too now because of really the last couple of years, starting with how much I love playing the homers and doing all that. I'm into now. I can watch the games because of that on a pretty nightly basis. So I'm great with baseball as well. I'm good with it.
The worst time of year is the day after the Super Bowl until opening day. You know, and we're going to get teased this year again because the Dodgers and Cubs are going to open in Korea a week early.
Right.
So you get that, then you're gone again for a week. You know, that's the worst.
Yeah,
because you and I live here in the Northeast, we're going to freeze. By the way, this will affect Buffalo, too, over the weekend, the Bills. We're getting whatever the hell they call it, from Siberia. Nasty cold from Siberia this weekend.
Like, Arctic what the chill. Hell? You're going to get an Arctic
whatever
chill
they're calling it.
Coming in this week?
This week, Siberia is coming to kill us. I mean, it's like...
I did see that there's going to be some potential for some snow for both Philadelphia and Buffalo on Sunday. Now, I don't think anything...
I just checked. Buffalo says Saturday and rain, snow. Sunday, cold, though, about 10
Real
degrees
cold.
At the game start. So,
that makes it a little bit tougher to smash into Derrick Henry also when it's 10 degrees out.
Yeah,
makes
that's
it a
not
little...
fun. So, do you feel any better about smashing it at Derrick Henry when it's 90 out? I really don't.
No, I certainly don't. I don't feel any better about that. That's for sure. Do we get a Red Wing goal yet, George? Are we on the board yet?
I'm watching the game. It's still 2-1, second intermission. No.
We haven't gotten Columbus yet either. They're still 1-1.
No, 1-1, also intermission. Still 3-0 Caps. The only score that's changed is, my God, has any score changed? I mean, the Jets are kicking they're beating the crap out of the Canucks. 3-0.
Wow, 3-0 at the end of one. Nice effort by
Kyle Connor. Natural hat trick already.
Wow. How about that? Good for him.
Then we got a couple of games started. Yeah, Rangers, Avalanche, Canadians.
Did Marchessault score any of those two Nashville goals?
He did not. Not yet. Right. Stamkos and Forsberg. And we got the vets, but no Marchessault yet. Come on, March.
No Marchessault.
This is your former team. I saw 2-0.
Dallas,
like, yeah, one of them's got to be March, but no.
And Dallas up 2-1 now. You mentioned that before. You've got Penguins
Rupe
up 2-1.
Rupe, by the way, left that game for anybody who's wondering about him.
Rupe. Scoreless still between the Islanders and the Senators, just about halfway through the second period. Nobody doing anything in that game at the horse track. And the same thing, George, probably a little bit more of a surprise, Panthers-Devils scoreless just about midway through the second period. So nothing happening there. You mentioned Panthers played last night, should be a good spot for the Devils.
Usually that takes place in the third period, right? Those legs get tired from the teams that played the night before. So I'm on the under as well. So I'm not panicking yet. I'll take the under, certainly. You know, the funny thing about the Islanders, now you and I can't watch them, and I don't say this to bitch about that, but have they figured out their defensive system again? Right? Because now also they're not letting up goals. Sorokin had the hat trick. Hogwarts played well over the weekend. Now Hogwarts playing well again here. I don't know if they just, you know, one of those times, or they just, has their defensive system fixed itself? Now, what I mean by that is, could be a time to get in an Islander unders again. But as I said, I feel more comfortable about that if I was watching the games and I knew for sure that they'd figured it out here. Or, you know, are we talking the goalies just standing on top of their heads?
It's hard to tell, like you say, because you're not seeing much of it, but they have been getting some better defensive performances. They have a stretch. I think, what are they playing now, George? Is it 5 out of 6 at home or 6 out of 7
like
at
that,
home?
Yeah.
They got a big stretch here where...
I think it might have been 7 straight at home, actually, from the start.
This is their season right here. Like,
their season.
This is where they need to absolutely put themselves back in the mix. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George and Frigell. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. LA up 9-1 at the TGL over Jupiter, which, of course, is Tiger Woods' team. I've seen Tiger miss some bad misses on some putts here on this green out at that SoFi TGL stadium. Meanwhile, everyone else, Tagala just missed one as well. But, I mean, Tiger missing by, like, wide margins. He's missed some of these putts here this evening. I did just see this, George. I figured I'd give it to you, and then we'll start the top of the second hour with some of these games for this weekend. There is still several free agents in baseball who have not signed yet. Now, everyone wants this Sasaki, Roki Sasaki, from Japan. And I guess yesterday, George, they started telling teams that they were out. Like, the Yankees are out, Giants are out, the Mets are out, etc. The Dodgers are meeting with Sasaki again today. Says, and their star player will be in attendance. I guess that means Ohtani's going to meet him, George. I guess that's what that means. Ohtani goes and sits down with Sasaki and tells him how great it is. It is amazing, George.
You think Ohtani's already met him?
They get everyone.
Anyway, the Dodgers were always the favorite to land Sasaki, so this is not a surprise. I think his uncle is Yu Darvish, so the Padres have it in here. But, Mike, you wonder if the ownership problems now there make Sasaki go, maybe not. I mean, listen, if I'm Sasaki, I am playing with the Dodgers. I mean, you're playing for peanuts, yeah. As far as sports play, you're playing for peanuts, right? Because you're only getting your the international signing, you know, whatever, $5 million from the Dodgers. So I want to play in L.A. Okay, the Fires, I get it, but I don't, assuming that doesn't bother them, I don't think it changes all that much. The great weather, great team, Ohtani, Freeman, Betts. I mean, the pressure won't be on you. What are you, SP3 to start the season at best? All right, Clayton, they're going to sign, at least sign Clayton Kershaw at some point as well here. So there's no pressure on you. So I don't blame him for starting there. I think my biggest surprise here is that the team that's in third place seems to be the Toronto Blue Jays, who came out of nowhere last week, and he eliminated everybody else. Yankees, Mets, Rangers, Giants were all eliminated yesterday. It's down to Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays. I mean, I'm just surprised at that, you know, Dodgers, Padres, Blue Jays. I mean, where does that come in? You know, where was it the Yankees or was it the Mets?
The funny part about that is, George, is that the Blue Jays are always seemingly now a finalist for the, and they never get to anybody. So they're not getting this guy. It's Dodgers and Padres. It's Dodgers and Padres is what it comes down to. And if he's having his like his second meeting with the Dodgers and the last meeting he's gonna do. So all they gotta do is they just put the ball over the goal line today. That's it. You'll probably hear tomorrow that he's made his decision and he's gonna be a Dodger. And that's that. And there still are other guys there. And as we get now, it always fascinates me, George, because we saw last year. Obviously Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell get dragged into spring training, and I know they're pitchers, so it's a little bit different, but it dragged into spring training and both of their years were kind of affected by it. I mean, Snell, it took him a little while, but Snell was excellent really from July
on. Figured it out.
But Montgomery was pathetic, all year for Arizona when he actually pitched. Some of these guys are going to have to start making some decisions, whether that's Alonso, Bregman. I think there's even like Profar still out there too, right, George?
Yeah,
Profar's still out there. There's still some guys of significance.
Santander,
that's right. So he hasn't signed either. So there's still some bats to be had here, George, a couple weeks before everyone starts reporting to Florida and Arizona.
There is, and I think Santander is defense, right? He's not a good defensive player at all.
And
that hurts. That hurts.
I think that hurts the Yankees. I think people thought maybe he'd be good, but the Yankees can't have two guys who can't play defense. See, if you could, you could survive with one guy who can't play defense, but they already have Stanton who can't play defense. You can't have two guys who can't play defense.
Yankees need an infielder now anyway. It's really what they need, a third baseman. Do wonder if Bregman's, the Yankees apparently are trying to trade Stroman, but who wants him? All right, you got to eat that contract. He's got 2 years, got a year left of an option. That's a terrible deal the moment that was signed here, done by Cashman. So apparently they're going to be cheap. And, they need a third baseman. That's what the Yankees need here. By the way, Dodgers, think about this. Ohtani, Yamamoto, Snell, Glasnow. I mean, yeah. Sasaki here. Yeah. You got Gonsolin, May, Miller. Kershaw? This is nuts. Go to an 8-man rotation.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Hour 2 next on the grid.